I'm going to begin reading with verse 51 and read down through verse 58, if you'll follow with me. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 58. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, I'm going to do a little different style of preaching this morning, because if I get all revved up, I'm going to start coughing and not able to preach at all. So the Lord being my helper, I'm going to try to contain myself. My subject this morning is death. I think a lot about death, and I pray that you do too. If you're saved by the grace of God, I pray that you consider what the Bible has to say about death. If you're not saved by the grace of God, I also pray that you would consider what the Bible has to say about death. It always makes me think, and there's thoughts come to my mind again, especially when the Lord took Brother Bradshaw home, and then with Mary Ann's mother, and it always brings afresh to your mind what the Word of God has to say about death. Here's something that you've got to recognize, and we need to recognize, is that death is real, and death is certain. I watched those little ones over there, and they were so interested, and they kept saying, when are they going to bring Granny? And you know, they were real interesting. You know, that was a marvelous thing. And they asked questions like, how did they get her in that box? And, you know, and how'd they do this? And how'd they do that? And you know, lots of times people try to guard children from that kind of a thing. But I believe we ought to tell them just exactly like it is. Because death is real. And death is something that we're going to be faced with all of our life. It will come to people that are our friends and people that we love. It's also a biblical truth that some will experience death and others will not. There will be some people that will not die. They'll be translated. Now, we can know about death by the Word of God. It is a blessing to the saved, and there's a sense in which it's a curse to the unsaved. When Paul wrote in the second letter, if you'll look at one verse with me, in chapter 5 and there in verse 8. Now this is when it's really a blessing. And I believe that we ought to have this up on our hearts and minds, what Paul said here in 2 Corinthians 5:8, when he said, we are confident, I say, now notice, and willing. And that can only be said by a person that's saved. A person that's not saved does not have that confidence, nor neither do they have the willingness. It can only be to a person that is saved by the grace of God, that has confidence and are willing to die. He said, "We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." But now with the unsaved, it's a totally different picture. If you'll go to the 16th chapter of the book of Luke, and I'll just take some time for you to get there because I want you to see these verses of Scripture and for to have time to ponder these thoughts. And in Luke chapter 16, and there in verse 22, it's talking about two men that die. One was a beggar and the other was a rich man. But in Luke chapter 16 and verse 22, it says this, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." Now here's what I want you to see. "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." Now we'll refer to this a little bit later on in this sermon, but I want us today to notice some scriptures concerning death. What I want you to see is the Bible uses the word in a threefold sense. The Word of God uses the word death in a threefold sense. Now, as to what you believe the Bible teaches about death will certainly be what your theology will be. If you do not have the understanding that the Bible teaches concerning these three deaths, then you'll be off doctrinally. You'll be off in your theology. And a lot of people today have gone astray doctrinally because they don't really know what the Bible teaches about death. So it is very important. Now I want us to notice in the Bible, in the Word of God, the first death that is mentioned. I'm talking about the very first death that is mentioned. I reckon your mind's already racing and you're already thinking about maybe some individual or something, you know. But I want us to notice the Word of God and to see where the very first death is mentioned. Go to Genesis chapter 2 and look with me in verse 17. And I want you to see where that death is mentioned for the first time in the Word of God. And here's what is said here in Genesis 2:17. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it." Now look, "For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." That is the first time that death is mentioned in the Word of God. And this is the death that is misunderstood. Many times today, here is the death that is misunderstood. And when a person misunderstands this death and does not know the teaching of it, it'll throw them off scripturally, it'll throw them off doctrinally. Now, if you'll go to the third chapter, look on the third chapter of Genesis. Now, I want you to stay there because I'm going to mention some more verses. Genesis 3. Now look with me as I begin in verse 1 and go down through verse 6. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. Now notice, lest ye die. Here's this death again. Here's this word die that is mentioned again. Now look. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Now what kind of death is he talking about? What kind of death is God talking about? And what kind of death is Satan talking about? Now think with me on this. Think with me. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, if you'll go on, and you'll see in the very next verse that what we think about death is they didn't die. What most people think about death and think what death is, they didn't die. Because it says in the eyes of them both were opened. And so, the first death that is mentioned in the Word of God is a spiritual death. It is a spiritual death. That death came first. And a spiritual death is the separation of the soul and spirit from God. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve. There was a separation of their soul and spirit from God. That's what took place. Now you got to think about this. You can't just let this run over you. You got to think about it. Because from that moment on, they were dead. What kind of dead? Spiritually dead. They were spiritually dead. Up until this time, they were spiritually alive. They were able to commune with God and to be with God and to walk with God. See, there's more to this than the physical. Now, we're going to get to that. But if you don't understand this truth, your whole theology will be off. And even when you come to preach on salvation, you'll not be able to preach the truth on salvation. If you don't know that the first death in the Bible was a spiritual death. A spiritual death that came. Now what was the results of this? If you'll go to the latter part of this chapter. Now the results of it is verse 22 down through verse 24 in Genesis 3. And look what it says. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. Now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, the first death in the Bible, the Word of God, is a spiritual death. And we've got to understand that. And it takes the Holy Spirit of God to take the Word of God and to apply to us. And so we are born into this world, every one of us, in this state. There's never been a person born in this world that was spiritually alive. Every person that is born into this world is born spiritually dead. And this is a truth that when God brings this truth to your heart and your mind, it's a truth that will enable you then to honor God with your lips, some of your lives, when you witness, and then when you preach and when you teach the Word of God. Because had it been any other way, and it's not, there would be no need of a person being born again. There would be no need If people were not spiritually dead, there would be no need of a new birth. There would be no need. So this truth goes all the way from the book of Genesis. It goes to the Old Testament. It comes all the way up to the New Testament. And this, with Jesus keeping this in mind, that's why he said what he said in John chapter 3. And there in verse 3 and verse 5, you know, these are familiar scriptures to you. And the whole basis of it goes all the way back to Genesis 3. But he said here in John 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again." Now, what kind of a birth does he need? Brother, he don't need a physical birth. I mean, Nicodemus didn't need a physical birth. Nicodemus, it was evidence that Nicodemus had a physical birth. But what Jesus knew is that the first death in the Bible was a spiritual death, and every person that has been born into the world since that time has been in a condition to where they need the new birth, or they need to be born again. And so he said here in this verse, except a man be born again. Now notice, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, a person that, and this is true of everybody until God works in them, a person that is spiritually dead cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't show them the things of God. One of the young ladies in our church was real concerned about one of her classmates in school. And she said, "Brother Harvey, they don't believe in God." And said, "I'm trying to tell them God." I said, "Now, all you can do, honey, is just tell them." She was so anxious, like we are, to get them to believe it. You know, it was Elizabeth. And just anxious that they've got to believe in God. But you can't get anybody to believe. See, that's God's work. You just tell them. And you be a good witness. And so you've got to remember, and we have to refresh our memories and say, that a person is dead. They are spiritually dead. They cannot see the kingdom of God. You see the kingdom of God because you've been born again. And how marvelous it is. And then he says in verse 5, he says, "Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So what happens is, every person that is born into this world, they have, through Adam, experienced spiritual death. And they are spiritually dead. This is the first death that is mentioned in the Word of God. Now, if you'll remember, either last Sunday or Sunday before last, that I used this passage of Scripture in John chapter 5. Now, turn over there. And that's why that I referred to in John 5 as there being a spiritual resurrection. Now, if a person is spiritually dead, they need to be resurrected. And if they experience a resurrection of new birth, it is a spiritual resurrection, because they are spiritually dead. Now, John chapter 5 and verse 21, if you'll remember these verses when I read them over to you here, and you'll remember, and perhaps you'll remember some statements I made about them. It says, "As for the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." Now we're leading up to this. "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honored the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but," now notice, "but is passed from death unto life." What kind of death? Spiritual death. Being spiritually dead. But what has happened? We've been made spiritually alive. We've been resurrected. Now, of course, he gives the idea. They said, it's hearing my word and believing on him that sent me. He even tells how that it comes about. But then when he uses the word, said, why, that person has passed from death. Now, what kind of a death? Well, I look at you this morning, and some of you have passed from the death into life, but you're alive. There's a sense in which you're alive. There's a double sense in which you're alive. And so they passed from death into life. And here's the verse that I used, either last Sunday, Sunday before. I said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and he uses the present tense, and now is. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And what that has reference to, that has reference to this first death that is mentioned in the Bible. That is mentioned in the Word of God. Now this brings to us a new light or a new understanding, I believe. And if you'll go to Ephesians, and these are familiar verses, I hope. But if you'll go to now with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and there in verse 1 through 3. Now keep in mind that the first death in the Bible is a spiritual death. And Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And you hath he quickened. And now I emphasize this, and I preach this so much you ought to know it by heart. It says, who were dead, and it says, in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Oh. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now here's what the scriptures teach. The scriptures teach that fallen man, unsaved man, don't need to hear how good he is. He needs to hear how bad he is. He needs to hear how dead he is. That he's dead in trespasses and sin. He needs to hear verses like Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:21. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sometimes, you know, in the religious world, people sort of frown at that or shiver at that. But that is the truth of God's word. And that is the truth that we need to proclaim, is that men are spiritually dead. And so the first death that is mentioned in the Word of God is a spiritual death. But now let's go to the second death. The second death that is mentioned in the Word of God is a physical death. Now, and this all tied in, and I'm not going to go into detail on this, but this all tied in, and this verse will be mentioned later on, when Paul wrote in Romans 5:12, said, and by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So that death passed upon all men. Romans 5:12. Well, many times we're geared only to think of one kind of death, and that's physical death. That's usually what we're geared to think of first, is physical death. But the first death is a spiritual death. And the second death is a physical death. Now, the difference between the first death with Adam and the second death was 930 years. That was the difference. He died spiritually when he ate here of this tree of the good knowledge of good and evil, the fruit of it, where he was forbidden to. He died spiritually. But he did not die physically until he was 930 years old. Now the first death in the Bible is a spiritual death, and the second death in the Bible is a physical death. Now physical death means this. Now I hope you're keeping this down. It means the separation of the soul and spirit from the body. Now the spiritual death was separation of soul and spirit from God. But the physical death means the separation of soul and spirit from the body. Now, if you'll go with me to Matthew chapter 25, and there in verse 8. Now, I know on that first one I could have brought out a lot more scriptures and thoughts in the New Testament, but I don't have time to do that this morning. I'm not going to take time, it is. Genesis chapter 25, if you'll go with me there. And I want to, and of course, this is not the first death that's mentioned in the Bible, physical death. You know, the first physical death that's mentioned in the Bible, I'll just sort of give it to you right quickly while you're turning to Genesis 25, 8. Was, you know, with Abel and Cain. That was the first physical death. But I want you to notice now, what I said and why I'm using this verse is because it clearly portrays that physical death means simply means the separation of soul and spirit from the body. For here in Matthew, I keep saying Matthew, here in Genesis 25 and in verse 8, it says this. Now look. And Abraham gave up the ghost. Genesis 25:8. That just means that his soul and spirit left his body. Well, they buried old Abraham. They buried his body. But that's all it was. It was a physical death. It was just his body. And you'll see what he says here in this. Now look at it real close. And died in a good old age. You know, 175 years old is a long time to live. An old man, notice, and full of years. Now look at this. And was gathered to his people. That means his people had died a physical death before him. And they were in a location that God had designated for them to be. Their bodies were still in the graves. But he died and was gathered to his people. In other words, the real Abraham, when he died, he left his body. And that's what we do in physical death. And that's all physical death is. And it's said many times that physical death is really just moving from one place to another. And really that's what it is. And it just takes a while. It just takes a while for, in God's time, for the rest of you to catch up. Somebody said, I see you're here this morning. I said, yeah, body, soul, and spirit. I was going, because I knew I was going to preach this, and that's what we are. I believe trichotomy. I'm a trichotomist. And I believe that we're body, soul, and spirit. And so what he did, Abraham died of old age, and he was gathered to his people. He gave up the ghost and was gathered to his people. That tells us that his people were already in a place of paradise or in a place of blessing. A place that God had designed for them to be. And so he just left this old body and that's where he went. To be with him. Now look in the 17th verse of this same 25th chapter and it says this. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael. 137. And he gave up the ghost. And if you don't know what that means, it says, and died. And was gathered unto his people. Ishmael. Y'all know who Ishmael was? And was gathered unto his people. Now look at the 39th verse. There ain't no 39 in there, but look at verse chapter 49 with me. Chapter 49. And look with me in verse 33. Now this is the death, and why I'm focusing upon this is the death that many people think of, the only death they think of. They don't think about that spiritual death or that first death that is mentioned in the Bible. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed, and notice, and yielded up the ghost. Well, what happened was, his soul and spirit just left the body. There was a separation of the soul and the spirit, and said, and was gathered unto his people. Now that's what's going to happen to you today if you die physically. That is, on the condition that you have been spiritually resurrected. Now, I realize the Bible teaches, and you can go on and use many other scriptures in the Word of God, but the results in the corruption and destruction of the material body. There is some results. What happens then? What happens to this old material body? We have seen from the Word of God what happens to the soul and the spirit. But what happens to this old material body? Well, the Bible tells us. Genesis 3:19. And it tells us, and this is God's design for physical death. And of course, this is for both the saved and the unsaved. But in Genesis 3 and verse 19, it said, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Now that's what happens. That's what happens to these old bodies. They decay. They go back to the dust from which that they came. They decay. And I realize and I know that many times this is the only death that many people think of is this physical death. But we've got to see from the Word of God that first there's a spiritual death. There needs to be a spiritual resurrection, and that comes in the new birth. And then there's a tremendous difference as to how we die physically. Whether or not that we've been born again by the Spirit of God. I tell you, we ought to take every opportunity we get to preach the gospel of how that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you have been born into this world with this first death. You're spiritually dead. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. Now why? Why doesn't the natural man receive the things of God? What's the scripture say? You all know this verse, and I'm not asking you to quote it, but because they're spiritually discerned. And to discern the things of God, there's got to be a spiritual resurrection. We call it regeneration. We call it, the Bible calls it. The Bible calls it born again. The Bible calls it the new birth. And so what we see is, then we are faced with, and we've just experienced this through the past week, and we heard about this lady, this Jessie Mae Miller, passing away. Death is real. And death is certain. And people need to know that there is a physical, there is a spiritual death, but they also need to know that there is a physical death. Now I want to just notice just a few verses in the New Testament concerning this physical death, and then I'm going to go to the third one. John chapter 11. If you'll notice with me, in John chapter 11, and there in verse 14 of the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, notice what it says. "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." We all know the story of Lazarus. Now, even as we have a spiritual resurrection, there is also a physical resurrection. As there is a spiritual death, there is a spiritual resurrection. As there is a physical death, there is a physical resurrection. What did Jesus do to Lazarus? Now think of this, and sometimes people think this is such a simple thing. They think of the simplicity of it. What did Jesus do to Lazarus? What did he say? Come forth. Now think with me. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And there is a tremendous truth that is given to us here in this passage of Scripture. Go with me to Acts chapter 2 now. And in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 24. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ that was crucified and was buried, but now he's talking about here the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he said in verse 24, I'm talking about the physical resurrection, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. One other scripture, and then I'll move to the third point, and that's Romans chapter 8, and there in verse 38. Romans 8, 38. Now you can do research, and there's lots of scriptures on this subject. He said, for I am persuaded, now look at this, that neither death, now what kind of death? Physical death. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, and he goes on and says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the first death is a spiritual death, the second death is a physical death, and the third death is an eternal death. And this is the one that we might say a prolongation into eternity of the spiritual death. But it's more than that. It's the second death. The second death. Now, so what the Bible teaches us, and let's just sort of run this by us. The Bible teaches the first death is a spiritual death. The second death is a physical death. And the third death is an eternal death. The Bible refers to this death as being a second death. If you'll look with me in Revelation, the book of Revelation, and I want us to notice some scriptures. And in Revelation chapter 2, and if you'll notice with me, I'm going to notice, first of all, chapter 2 and verse 11. And then I'm going to mention also Revelation chapter 20. Now look what he says in Revelation 2:11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Or this is an eternal death. Now go all the way over to the 20th chapter of Revelation and notice these verses in verse 6 and verse 14, and it says this. Revelation 26 and verse 14. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Well, there's a great truth right there in itself. And on such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now look at verse 14. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, a very biblical description is given here in the 10th verse of what the second death is. A biblical description is given here in Revelation 20:10. It says this, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. There is a description of that second death, or that eternal death. We are told that the devil is cast into it after 1,000 years, where the beast and the false prophet are tormented day and night forever. This is the truth of the story that's found in the New Testament in Luke chapter 16. Now I want you to go back there to Luke chapter 16, and I want you to clearly see from the Word of God the picture that is given to us here from this passage of Scripture, and especially as I read again in that 16th chapter, verse 23 and verse 24. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, between Revelation 20 and the second chapter of Revelation, and here in Luke 16, we have a description of what the second death or the eternal death is. The second death, then, is a place of unending and conscious torment and suffering. He said, I'm miserable. I just like to have somebody just to put some water on my tongue. And you know, the interesting thing about that is, he knew enough about where he was in the suffering, and he didn't want nobody else to come there. He said, I have five brethren. Said, would you not raise somebody from the dead? I imagine he had in mind like Abraham or somebody like that. He had in mind, you know, some Old Testament prophet said, would you not raise them from the dead and let them go talk to my brethren that they wouldn't come to this place? And he said, nay, but they have Moses and the prophets. And he said, if they will not hear them, then they're not going to hear anybody. And so what we find is these three deaths that are mentioned in the Word of God, there is a spiritual death. And everybody that is born into this world is in that condition, spiritually dead. But then there is a physical death. Some die that death and others do not. Then there is an eternal death. Some die that death and others do not. Now, we have these three deaths, and God is the giver of all three. God designed all three. He designed that every person born would be born spiritually dead. They would be dead in trespasses and sins. They would need a work of God upon them to make them alive to the things of God. Isn't it something? You can have it in your head. You can have all the facts. You can know all the Bible says about God. You can know all the Bible says about Jesus Christ. You can know all the Bible says about salvation. You can have it in your head, but you got to have it in your heart. And you have to be spiritually resurrected. And God is the one that brings that about. I don't have time, but I could go in as I did the other Sunday in John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, and no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Dead. Any person here this morning that's not saved by the grace of God needs to be spiritually resurrected. And if it pleases God this morning to quicken you and make you alive, and we call that regeneration, and grant to you repentance and faith, as I preached on quickening and conversion, grant to you repentance and faith, what we will experience and see in you this morning would be a spiritual resurrection. Then, that doesn't mean that you're not going to face the physical death. But I tell you what it does, it prepares you for it. But it does guarantee that you're not going to face the eternal death or the second death, which means an eternal separation from Almighty God. Only those that die in Christ or that are alive and saved by the grace of God when the Lord comes again, only those will not be in that second death or that eternal death. Now, it's bad to be spiritually dead, but it's great to have been made alive. Humanly speaking, fleshly speaking, it's bad in one sense to die physically. But all of that is not like that eternal separation from God. See, now what it all comes back to, see, God shut Adam and Eve out of the garden. He shut them out. And I tell you, there's a great teaching and a great lesson there for us. So, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you've never been saved by the grace of God. And I'll tell you, if you have been, you'll know it. I tell you, when God brings you from death to life, Boy, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away and all things become new. And you'll have so many fruits it'll run out your ears. And it'll show all over that you've been regenerated or you've been born again by the Spirit of God. And then you can even look forward to physical death. By the Spirit of God, you can even say as Paul, I am confident and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. When a person says that, they've been spiritually resurrected, folks. And one of the things that you can rest assured is that you will never experience that eternal damnation in the devil's hell where their worm dieth not. So I pray this morning that it would please God to touch your heart and to touch your life. And I pray that God would work in us that are saved. And that He would put these great truths in us. And that we might proclaim them for God's glory. We're going to bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I've tried by the God-given ability to preach Your word this morning. And I realize we have people here that have never been spiritually resurrected. And Lord, they need You more than they need anything else. So I pray this morning, Father, that You would work in their hearts and in their lives. We have men and women that are here that are not saved. We have young people that are here that are not saved. Lord, they're spiritually dead. Would it please You this morning for us to see a spiritual resurrection? And then if it comes down to the time that we have to place them in the grave, it'll be with sadness, but it'll also be with joy, knowing to be absent from the body is to be with You. So now I pray that You'd be pleased to bless the remainder of our service. In Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.